Well, hey, good morning and welcome back. It's Dan McDonald. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to the Dan McDonald Show on AM 800 CKLW, and it's our city building segment today. City building segment every single Wednesday around this time. We talk about city building and how it affects us. We talk about everything from good city building through art, transit, architecture, tech, placemaking, small businesses, really cool things that help us get to know our area better, like Jane's Walks. Also, I want to give a shout out to Dr. Annika Smith, who is director at Windsor Law Center for Cities, who helps us out with this segment every single week. So thank you, Annika Smith, for this. But Jane's Walk, we talked with Sarah Morris, the organizer of Jane's Walks, last week, just to talk about it. They had their first weekend. I think it went phenomenal. Just looking at some feedback online. Very, very pumped to see that this festival has grown to two weekends. Gearing up for another weekend coming up. WindsorJanesWalk.ca is the website. And I'll read from the website here. You can explore 30 walks and activities that celebrate the rich culture and history of the region. And this is for anyone. It's free. It's kid and pet friendly. So whether you're a longtime resident of Windsor, Essex, or you're new to the area, the 2023 Jane's Walk Festival is the perfect opportunity to discover the unique character of different neighborhoods and connect with your community, which is so important. I've lived here all my life. 46 years of my life have been here. And I like to think I'm somewhat well-read on our history. And our goings-ons here in the city, but I learn something every day, especially on events like this, whether it's a walking tour, a bike tour, a scooter tour, a street art tour. The stories that we have here, I learn something new every day, and it's amazing. It just helps us respect where we're from much more and just stay connected. So with so many walks and activities to choose from, there is something for everyone. Joining us in studio right now, guides from three different walks happening this weekend. Frazier Fathers. Frazier, good morning.
Morning, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Cannot wait to talk about yours, because yours is the one I know the least about, and I'm really, really excited for yours. Also, no stranger to the show, who's doing a very kid-friendly event happening, Melinda Monroe. Melinda, good morning.
Hi, Dan. Nice to be back.
It's great to have you back in the studio. And also, first time, at least on my show, anyway, joining us in the studio, an organizer of a really cool event happening Sunday, May 7th from 12 to 2 in my neck of the woods. Nicole Bayarjan for the Penier Picnic. Is that how I'm saying it right?
Penier
Picnic. I love this. So, Nicole, if you don't mind, we can start with you. Your walk is taking place, like I said, in my neck of the woods this Sunday from 12 to 2 at beautiful Willisted Park. I was just at Willisted, by the way, and I saw Mark Jones. He designed that new children's playground, and it kind of takes a lot of cues from Willisted. They have the old whiskey barrels and a horse and the old classic car. I love what they're doing. The park is looking better than ever. But before we talk about the event really quickly, Nicole, you are from Mean Studios. For those who don't know, can you tell us what Mean Studios is?
Yeah, that's right. So I'm one third of Mean Studio. We're a local architecture practice. We do all kinds of different types of work, full service architecture practice. We do have a particular sort of interest, though, in projects and in work that allows us to contribute to the urban realm in some way.
It's amazing, too, you know, talking to a lot of architects on this show, how important architecture is and the role it plays in our culture and our city and city. It's just when you're aware of it and you look around, it really does change the way you look at your city, I think. And it's
so
important. So tell us what's happening this Sunday at Willisted with Penier Picnic.
Well, so we planned a sort of a loosely planned self-directed tour of small mom-and-pop grocers, bakers, butchers, food purveyors around the core of the city, specifically not cafes or restaurants, but places where you can get the things to fill your pantry and sort of access on a daily basis. And the point is sort of to highlight these places and also their importance to the city, to creating a vibrant city. They're the connective tissues. They're the things that are around the city that sort of allow it to be walkable and accessible to just about anyone, and bikeable. And they're really important to the way we get around the city and to creating the vibrant, walkable, bikeable city that are really truly livable. And we wanted to highlight these mom and pop grocers and food purveyors and sort of encourage people to visit them, explore them, get to know some new places that you haven't been before, and to support them.
What is the name Panier Picnic? Where did that come from?
The
name Panier Picnic.
So Panier is the basket that you attach to the front of your bike.
Oh, that's what that is.
The basket that's attached to the front handlebars, or it can be on the rat trap on the back of a bike. So the intention is that you could do this whole route in about an hour, a little bit more, depending how much time you spend perusing shops. Ideally on a bike, because you can cover the most ground, but really, anyone can do it in whichever way they feel most comfortable. Smaller parts on foot, smaller parts on bike. And then we end the route at Willowstead Park around noon on Sunday to meet for really what will be many small individual picnics. Everyone, mm-hmm. The intention is that everyone will pick up their own food items at the shops along the route and then show up at the park with their picnic blanket, and we will just all happen to be there at the same time and be able to share all of the delicious things that we found at these shops and discuss our experiences. And then beyond this, it's, you know, something that we can do any day, every day, all throughout the summer, and support local grocers.
I love this. I'm looking at the pamphlet right now, the Panier Picnic pamphlet, and, you know, you have a little map drawn out with a legend of all the shops. And I wish every single neighborhood had one of these, because, like I said, I'm from the area. This is my neighborhood. And there's a few businesses I'd never heard of before, which is amazing.
All over the place.
Tucked a little hidden gems all over the place. And one thing we often do, I'll do, like, small business shout-outs on this show all the time, where I say, hey, shout out your favorite small business. And I will get people text me saying, Dan, can you please publish this list of people calling in with these, because I want to know these places. They sound like places I want to visit. So this in itself, this little pamphlet you have here, it's on the website as well, Windsor Jane's Walks. This is a really great resource just for people to get to know local businesses and better understand their community.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've discussed making more for other neighborhoods, because there were so many places that we wanted to include. For the purposes of this walk, we had to sort of rein it in. But
right.
I think we've almost already included too many. I don't think everyone will be able to hit every single spot, but yeah, there's just so many great shops.
Well, if somebody can hit every single spot, my hat will be off to them.
You'll end up with a really humongous picnic.
You'll eat a trailer hitch to your bike.
Yeah.
But these are some really great options, and I love this. I love the idea of using the park and having community picnics. I think that's something that we're lacking. Do you think we're getting better at appreciating what our neighborhoods have to offer?
I think so, and I hope so. I mean, I think, just bikeability and walkability is more on people's radars. You know, gas is expensive, owning a car is expensive, and I think I do see people getting out more, starting to explore their neighborhoods and what really can be accessed without a car. You know, this all sort of came about because Crystal, our other partner, she recently moved to Windsor from Toronto. She's had been to Windsor a few times, but has never lived here. And they didn't have a car in Toronto, didn't need one, and don't have one here yet anyway. And when she moved here just after Christmas, they started getting around by bike almost right away, even in the winter. But now that it's nicer out, they're doing that even more. And I've been trying to, you know, give her all of the places that I had been letting her know all of the places that she could, you know, go to get her things that she needs easily from her place, which is South Walkerville. And that kind of quickly turned into, well, you have to go here to get the best bread. You have to go to this one shop to get tahini, you know, the best tomatoes are at La Stella, and all of these really specific things. And then I realized I tend to do this all the time. I go to one specific shop for a very specific thing, and then I just end up on a daily basis, you know, getting different items from different shops and exploring all of these places. And I do think as we get, you know, pulled away from our cars more for various reasons, that everyone will start doing more of this exploring on their own. And hopefully this map just sort of encourages people to start doing that more.
I love this map. This is something I will absolutely save and use. I think it's a great resource. But yeah, 12 to 2 at Willisted Park is the picnic. I highly recommend people do this. Again, you can get information about all the walks on their website as well, Windsor Jane's Walks. And I'm gonna move around the table here. Wonderful work, though, Nicole. This is truly incredible.
You.
This
Thank
is such
you.
A resource alone. The list of businesses, again, I haven't heard of a lot of these, so I'm excited to dive in and explore some of these. We'll keep going around the table. Melinda Monroe on the show. And Melinda, you are doing a really interesting walk. I love this. Kid Made City. This one makes me nostalgic because it's about how kids navigate urban space. And I feel like this is something that we are losing a little bit. I don't want to sound like I'm 110 years old and saying back in my day. But back in my day, we did navigate the city a lot more as kids on our bikes. It meant freedom. A summer vacation, 9 a.m., you met up with your friends at the park and then you went exploring and you navigated. And it was a lot different. I feel like that doesn't happen as much. But tell us a bit about this walk. It's happening Saturday, 9 to 10 at the Chisholm Public Library.
Right. Yeah. Thanks, Dan. And it's interesting that you opened with that, the idea of like it's worse for kids now, and it probably is. The genesis of this walk actually came from, thanks to Sarah Morris, listening to a podcast on 99% Invisible, and the episode was called First Errand, and it was about a practice in Japan where by the age of 6, children are expected to have done at least one errand alone. So they've been sent by their parents to the store to buy rice or to pick up something that the family needs. Right. And they're expected to have done it alone. And it turned into a Netflix series, which I've never actually watched. But they interviewed an expert called Owen Waygood, who's a prof at Montreal Polytechnic. And so in a sort of another promotion, myself and a colleague, Doug Sartori, are bringing Dr. Waygood to Windsor in the summer to talk about his work. But then we thought, what if we used a Jane's Walk as a way to kind of, you know, create a little excitement about this?
Mm-hmm.
So the idea for this Jane's Walk was myself and Mackenzie Kramer, who's my 11-year-old partner on this. He lives in Amherstburg with his mom, Candace. They're going to help, and we're going to meet at Chisholm Library. We're going to use a map that we have of the library and the park area. So we picked a neighborhood which is attractive to kids. There's a dog park. There's a great swing set. There's baseball diamonds. It's the sort of place, as you say, when I was a kid, my friends and I would have ridden our bikes down to the ball diamond. We'd have played scrub half the afternoon.
Yep.
Then we would have hung out on the swing sets. And then we would have ridden up to Tecumseh and get a pop. And we would have hung out in that area. You don't really see kids doing that independently anymore. So the question we're going to ask the kids is, what would help you? What's fun about hanging out with your friends independently? And what would help you to feel like you could do that here independently? Do you think there should be a crosswalk here? Do you think there should be a stop sign? What do you think about where the railroad tracks, where the bike path crosses the railroad tracks? What do you think about that? What about the woods? What about playing in the woods? And get them to use their maps and talk to us about how would they change this environment? And maybe they wouldn't even, to feel like they could be really independent. And we want their parents to listen to them talk about that. Like, what would the kids say? Not what the parents say. Well,
right.
I need to watch my kid. I need to be there. There need to be adult supervision. No. What do the kids think would help them feel independent?
I love this idea. And what is it you think that did change from when you were a kid, from when I was a kid? For me, I equate it to small public schools that were in neighborhoods. Like, everybody walked to school. It was literally a couple blocks away from my house. So everybody knew not only everyone they saw on the street, but you knew where that's Billy's house, that's Michael's house, that's Kelly's house. Like, everyone knew where everyone lived. And I'll never forget, it was 1987. They closed down the little small school that I went to. And there was big pushback from parents saying, this is going to start to unravel neighborhoods because now we have to get on a bus or we have to be driven there. And what you didn't see back in those days was the big lineup of kiss and ride because everybody walked or biked home. And I think it kind of disconnected us a little bit. And that was the beginning of the end of what you're kind of talking about.
Sure. And that's what Dr. Waygood says in his research, is he talks about how in Japan, for example, the neighborhoods are built around the school. And in fact, you're not allowed to drive your children to the school unless you have permission from the principal. So everyone has to walk because they don't want cars around the school.
Right.
And so that's one factor. The other, the infrastructure factor he talks about is narrower streets. So where we've chosen to have our little walk is interesting because Ypres is a huge boulevard. It's very beautiful. But if you're a small person trying to cross that street, it's a little bit difficult. You can cross the median and then cross again. All the other streets, the go up and down Hall, and well, not so much Hall, but say Parkwood, Forest, they're much narrower, and there's no sidewalks, but there's no sidewalks. So again, can you walk safely up that street by yourself for your kid if there's no sidewalk? So what are the pieces of infrastructure in that neighborhood that would help a kid to feel more independent?
I love this. You're asking people, parents, and bring their kids to hear what the kids have to say. Well, what could make these spaces better?
We're asking the kids to bring their parents.
Yes, kids, bring your parents to this 9 to 10 at the Chisholm Public Library. I love this event. I think this is so important. I think this is a big missing puzzle piece that we really need to kind of glue us all together. I love this from their perspective. That was our space when we were young, were the parks, and it was a different time. I love that. We got to take a really quick break. We're going to come back and talk about another one. I'm very, very intrigued. Marlboro Neighborhood. I know nothing about this neighborhood. Fraser Fathers is here. He's going to be the guide happening Saturday 1 to 2. We'll talk with Fraser when we come back. Keep it here, City Building, on the Dan McDonald Show. Don't go away.
Coming at you through the airwaves to talk about what's happening right here and right now.
This is the Dan McDonald Show on AM 800.
Living in a daydream. She said, love me like you pay.
Well, hey, good morning and welcome back. It's Dan McDonald. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's our City Building segment talking about Jane's Walks, which is happening this weekend. You can get information on the various walks and activities happening, WindsorJanesWalk.ca. And we're joined in the studio by several of the guides of certain walks and events happening. And this one is really, really intriguing to me. You know, I've been meaning to have you on the show for a long time, too. Fraser Fathers, who is a guide for Marlboro Neighborhood, past, present, future, which is happening this Saturday, 1 to 2. Now, Fraser, I know nothing about this neighborhood.
Yeah, so Marlboro is in West Windsor. And generally speaking, most people think of West Windsor, they think it's Sandwich Town or the university.
Right.
And so but really West Windsor is 6, 8, 10 smaller neighborhoods inside sort of Ward 2 there. And so, you know, I live in what is Marlboro Neighborhood. I bought my house there about 5 years ago. And so part of buying my house and living in the neighborhood was just learning about the neighborhood. And then, you know, there's several walks in Sandwich Town this weekend. You should go to all of them.
Yes.
They're all going to be great. But, you know, this is one of the other neighborhoods in West Windsor. And so the great thing about how this weekend sort of structured is you can do the Sandwich Town walks, come to my walk, and then go do more Sandwich Town walks afterwards and sort of all stay in the West End pretty easily. But yeah, so it was about, part of it was just about me learning more about my neighborhood and then, you know, figuring out, well, let's share that story a little bit.
Yeah. And just so people get an idea, what is the Marlboro neighborhood? Like, what are the parameters kind of?
Generally speaking, it would be south of College, north of Tecumseh.
Okay.
From Huron Church, sort of on the far side of Huron Church.
Okay.
So, you know, sort of that wedge between Prince Road and Huron Church there. And some people would define Marlboro going a bit of south of Tecumseh. Other people might define it, you know, ending a bit before College Ave. With all the apartment buildings that are along the College Ave there. So, you know, there's no clear definition, but that's the general area that we'll be exploring.
Right. Is there any interesting tidbit? Because literally, I know absolutely, this is why Jane's Walk is so perfect for someone. I've lived here all my life. I know nothing about it. Any interesting tidbit you can give us a little tease with about this walk?
Yeah, I think part of the story is the story of Micmac Park, which is across the road from the neighborhood there. But, you know, many people think of that name and think of that park and think there's an indigenous history to it. And there's actually not. It's actually was sort of, the name came from a group of World War I veterans who fundraised to put the first baseball diamond out there. And they called themselves the Micmacs as a fundraising group.
Wow.
And so that was sort of the origin of the park's name. And, you know, that obviously that park's grown dramatically over time. And so it's like there's a long history of, you know, how that park evolved in the neighborhood there and the name, where that name came from.
Yeah. Well, and why do you think it is so important? Like something like this, where did the name come from, first of all, Marlboro?
Yeah. Well, there's a local school, right?
Oh, that's
okay.
And so
the school and the neighborhood is pretty well named. A lot of the streets are named after sort of old British sort of area, you know, and Prince Road and things like that.
Right, yeah.
And so part of it just came from the street names that were there, and the school went there, and it opened in the 1930s. So that was sort of that, you know, going back a minute ago, you're talking about local schools. That school's been there since the 1930s. It's that neighborhood school where a lot of the kids in the neighborhood go. There's now a French immersion program in the school, so it's drawing kids from a wider catchment now into the neighborhood to go to that school. And so that school was sort of the anchor for that. And I think the name just sort of translated to the broader communities in the almost 100 years that the school's been there.
It's amazing and fascinating. And I cannot wait to check that one out because I'm so intrigued. Like I said, I know nothing about this area. I didn't even tie it together. Prince Road, King Street, like all these. There really is something there. And you learn something every day. WindsorJanesWalk.ca happened this weekend. Really, really incredible event. Great way to get to know your neighborhoods and what makes us us and connect the dots. And, you know, the better we understand each other and our story, I think the better we all move along and kind of become cheerleaders of where we live. And I love that this is what this is all about. So, Nicole, Melinda, and Fraser, thank you so much for joining us today. And best of luck with the walks.
Oh, thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thank you. More conversation. Again, WindsorJanesWalk.ca is the website. Keep it here. It's the Dan McDonald Show on AM 800.